T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now we have the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, joining us. And Chris, thank you for joining. Bobby, I know you're on the line. I want to read the statement from Athletic Director Scott Woodard, and it's basically him saying, "We remain steadfast in our approach in the Southeastern Conference, taking all the available time to gather as much information as possible in order to make informed decisions. We are united in our process and our focus on the safety and well-being of our student-athletes. The recent flood of reports surrounding college athletics does not alter that approach. As we have said since the beginning, we are patiently working through each and every variable following the direction of our Return to Safety and Medical Guidance Task Force. I believe our student-athletes want to play. We owe it to them to make every effort to do it safely." Bringing on now with us the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair. Thank you for joining us, and give us your thoughts on just that statement from Athletic Director Scott Woodard.
Well, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on again. It's been way too long, and I'm glad at least that we're still talking about looking towards, you know, the football season for LSU in 2020. And you know, I actually was reading that statement, making my way up to the studio here on campus a few moments ago. And, you know, just excited and optimistic that, you know, that's the take that our athletic director has at the moment. You know, echoing the sentiments, I think, earlier today from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, which basically said, even at this point, you know, time is still on our side to make, you know, the proper decisions. And, you know, I think that's what I took away from what Commissioner Sankey said today. And, you know, again, reiterated by Scott Wilbert, our athletic director, just moments ago, that there's still time to make decisions, all at the same time taking the precautions and needed protocols to keep the student athletes safe in hopes that we can play college football for LSU this fall. So it's an optimistic view. And frankly, at this point, with all that we've all been through, since early March, you know, I'm glad to see there are some people that are still optimistic, and I continue to be on that boat as well.
Now, Chris, with that being said, I'm going to play devil's advocate and looking at the glass half empty. I'm one, like you, always look at the glass half full, but then you look at the different Power 5 conferences, you look at the Pac-12, well, they don't think like SEC people. I'm even looking at the Big Ten and the power that they have. But then here's one conference like the Big 12, along with the ACC. I think they more align maybe with the SEC, except for this individual. I'm looking at West Virginia Athletic Director Shane Lyons, who is part of the Big 12, who is also a member of the NCAA Division I Council, and he's the chairman of the NCAA Oversight Committee. He says, "I don't want to be the guy who is pushing it just to push it. But we have to understand that if we say we're not playing because of the virus until there is a vaccine, we might as well shut it down for the next 2 or 3 years. Whoa. He told that to CBS Sports. Even though a vaccine might come out as early as next year, you don't know if it's going to work. How long is it going to take to get to the population? Whoa, that right there is just like, woe is me. The sky is falling. The glass half empty for sure. But here's a guy with power, being athletic director, not only for the West Virginia Mountaineers, but he's on the NCAA Division I Council, and he's the chairman of the NCAA Oversight Committee. Is he just trying to cover his behind, maybe from a legal standpoint, taking that approach?
You know, Bobby, I assume that's part of it. But I also will say I think there's many when you look at what's taken place in college athletics over the last 2 to 3 months, I mean, there's a lot of people who have made the complaint that the NCAA as a governing body has kind of been slow to put out any statements, has been slow to kind of take a stance one way or the other. And I'm not criticizing that because, frankly, I think we all live in this world at whatever level you are, and there's so much that is unknown and there's so much that changes day to day and week to week from, you know, the medical standpoint, from the science standpoint, and then in the everyday life, business, economics, college, education, I mean, every facet of life in our country and really, for that matter, across the globe that, you know, is changing. So it's hard to, I think, to take a hard stance one way or the other. Again, I go back to what Commissioner Sankey and what Scott Woodward said today, which is, you know, if you think back to March, you know, it was kind of the same thing. You know, we got to see what happens when we get to April. Then April hit and things went for a downturn overall. Then May came along, and then we got to June, and things kind of started to plateau a little bit. There was a little more optimism. July hit, and then things started to get a little worse. I mean, it's been such an up and down roller coaster that I think it's impossible really for anybody to come out and say, well, this is what we know to be definitive and we're going to make a definitive decision about it, regardless of whether it's sports or business or whatever facet of life you want to look at. So, again, I think that the SEC, and for that matter right now, the ACC and even the Big 12 are I won't say hedging their bets, but I think they're making the right decision that until it's absolutely crunch time, which I know we're getting there as every day passes, but I don't think we're there yet, to make a definitive statement and to make such a sweeping announcement is a little premature. And I think that goes for whether you're a conference, whether you're a Power 5, a G5, an FCS, whatever the case may be. I don't fault people for making that decision. But I also don't fault people who say we're going to take a little more time, get a little more information, and see where we are tomorrow, see where we are next week, see where we are, you know, in early September. So I think taking a wait-and-see approach in any form right now, because I think that's what most of all of us are doing in our daily lives when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic. I think we're taking it day-to-day, making decisions for ourselves and our family as we get more information. And I don't think we have all the information right now.
We're speaking to Chris Blair, the voice of – hold on, Bobby. We're speaking to Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. You can find him on Twitter, at LSU Tigers Voice. Chris, I got to ask you one question right quick before I let Bobby have it. And this is pretty much a hypothetical. Looking at how – the virus ruined some of the spring sports, particularly baseball, and we saw the legislation that the NCAA came up with, you know, allowing some of those players to be able to basically gain another year of eligibility if they were not drafted, you know, and they chose to go that route. If there isn't, I don't want to say, let's just say a couple conferences have football, and maybe not all of the conferences have football, you know, because we know a couple of them have opted out. Could you see the NCAA stepping in and maybe a player that has graduated, he doesn't feel like he's ready for the NFL? Do you see the NCAA being able to grant any extra eligibility to some of those players because they did not have a football season?
You know, I think it's the right thing to do. To be honest with you, I think it's the right thing to do. The only problem I see from a pragmatic standpoint is that the longer this goes on and the more seasons that you have, now baseball, they've had some adjustment to the rules to take care of this. They lost the NCAA basketball tournament, which was a huge revenue loss. And through that sort of, you know, process, we all kind of found out that there's not as much money in the NCAA in 2020 as maybe we all thought there was. And so suddenly, I think the deeper this goes, I think the more difficult in real terms it's going to be for the NCAA to just simply blanket it that, hey, we're going to provide the ability to extend your scholarships. Somebody's got to pay for it. The longer this goes, it becomes harder for the NCAA. The longer this goes, it becomes harder for each individual school. And while there are, 10, 20 schools across the country that would take a hit but be able to survive financially, being able to do that, I think the overwhelming majority of schools would suddenly find themselves in a deep financial hole. So, again, the answer is it's the right thing to do, but I think we're getting to a point where is it possible to do? And that's kind of the downside, at least when it comes to college athletics, that this continued pandemic is going to have long-term effects on the college game, just like it will pro sports, just like it will, again, not to beat play a broken record, but, that's going to affect everything that we do, because the longer it goes, the more of a deeper hole it creates. So I don't know. I think there certainly would be talk about that. I think the school certainly would be expecting some kind of decision in a hypothetical situation where that were to happen. I just don't know how much longer and how deep the NCAA pockets are to allow for that. And should you move football to spring, then you come up with a conversation for those players who wanted to play, say, next fall. You may be able to cover that, but when you go into spring of 2021, how many players then have to make a personal decision on whether they want to opt out of a possible spring season to go on and prepare for, the NFL? And, that's a hard conversation to have. And frankly, nobody could blame anybody for that opportunity. So as this thing goes longer, I guess that's the theme I'm going with, guys. The longer this goes, the more entangled problems that we are going to have and the more solutions that are going to have to be found.
Bobby, I know you have one more question before we let Chris go.
Now, Chris, what is your take on this? Because you look at the NFL and the TV product, obviously wanting to play the season, that's over $5 billion in revenue to share amongst 32 teams. But when I look at college football, and I thought it was interesting that LSU Executive Deputy Athletic Director Virg Ausberry, when he talked about, and, we talked about the virus, we've been on the roller coaster. Like after 4th of July, you look what happened 2 or 3 weeks later, and we could see that happening. So when he talks about phase two stage of reopening Tiger Stadium will be limited to 50% capacity, would increase to 75% under phase three. When I'm even looking at phase two, that's 50,000 people. Well, that's like a unbelievable party. Now, I don't know how you social distance, but the reason why I'm asking you this, and I brought this up to Deuce earlier, and now looking at LSU Athletics brought in $157 million revenue in 18 and 19. The football program made more than half of that money, totaling right at $92 million. Then you look at ticket sales, over $36 million. That's nearly 40% of the football revenue. And to reduce the capacity of Tiger Stadium in 2020 is going to cost LSU millions. Now, with no fans, that would be devastating. So is it feasible to have a season, that being college football, with no fans, considering that amount of money? It's basically half the money if you have no fans that you're not getting.
Bobby, I think it comes down to it's not a matter of, how devastating it is, or rather, will it be devastating? The answer is yes. Now you get to a point, depending on phase two, phase three, how devastating will it be? At what point? Because I think it's pretty obvious when you just do simple math based on the numbers you just talked about, the less seats that are filled and the more space you have to provide, whether it's 40,000 in the stadium, 60,000 in the stadium, 75,000, it's not 102,000. And, for most seasons, that's what LSU and all of the Power Five teams, and frankly, G5 teams, they may not have 102,000, but if their capacity is 30,000, all of a sudden you cut that down to 10,000. It's just a domino effect that, unfortunately, depending on how it all plays out here in the coming weeks, is going to affect not only football, not going to affect just the athletic department. Then it really starts to hit those non-revenue sports. And that's, again, for me, what is the toughest part about going through this, at least looking through the lens of college athletics. You look at some of the FCS programs across the country that have already said we're out. You look at the G5 programs and G5 conferences that said we're out. Now you're looking at Power 5 conferences that say we are out. That effect, you know, I don't think the biggest effect, unfortunately, is going to be this November or this December. I think the biggest effect, unfortunately, is going to be next May and a year from today. Because when those things get put back like that and the impact it's going to have on sports, not just football, not just basketball, not just baseball, but swimming and diving and gymnastics, track and field, tennis, you name it. We've already seen programs be cut. And maybe many people may feel like it was preemptive cuts, and maybe that's true. But when you start looking at those numbers and worst case scenario, I think the impact is not today and not next month. I think the impact, unfortunately, could be a year from now and 2 years from now. And that's, again, unfortunate for all of us who love college athletics.
Mr. Chris, thank you for your time to be able to talk a little bit with us. I agree with you as well. It's going to be interesting time, and I think, you know, from the SEC standpoint, LSU standpoint, to take it day by day is the right approach. But, you know, you're getting to critical points of where a decision has to be made, and, you know, we just have to kind of wait and see at this point.
Absolutely, guys. We got our fingers crossed. We're hoping for the best. And as I said earlier, you know, I had a coach a long time ago tell me, keep thinking good thoughts, good things will happen. Well, I hope he's right, because that's what I'm doing right now.
I agree.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.